Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I have been bested by Pam. So one of the worst things to do when you're in this profession is take a vacation that ends close to the weekend, because you have to work on your vacation then to get ready for the weekend. And I was sitting in my parents' house, and I'm looking at the lessons, and I'm looking at the gospel lesson about the beheading of John the Baptist, and I'm thinking to myself, there's nothing I can preach on out of this. I was wrong. So as you might imagine, I'm not going to talk about the gospel. I'm going to talk about a curse I lived under about 20 years ago. The curse of Littlefoot. Now, everybody has different parenting styles, and I guess my parenting style for my children when they were growing up, when they were younger, could be best described as Old Testament. You were rewarded for good behavior, you were punished for bad behavior. And it was laid out very clearly. You know, if there was something going on that I didn't like, in terms of their behavior, they would be told that their behavior is not appropriate, and they would be told what their punishment would be if the behavior didn't stop. And I would tell them a second time, and on the third time, the punishment would begin. Conversely, if they did something good, they would be rewarded. Now, my oldest, Logan, was enamored with an animated series of movies called Land Before Time. They made 13 of them. And the main character was this baby dinosaur called Littlefoot. And so his reward for good behavior was, we could watch Littlefoot. But it wouldn't just be a matter of him watching Littlefoot, it would be a matter of me having to sit with him and for an hour and a half watch a movie that I had seen at least 36 times. It became the curse of Littlefoot. But it served its purpose, because he was able, I think, to be able to discern his behavior in terms of appropriate and inappropriate actions through what he was rewarded with and through what he was punished by. Because that's how we learn. It's not a gospel message necessarily, but it is a message that teaches us. It is a message that kind of helps us understand exactly what the parameters of life can be. Because there are these rules and regulations that we have to be able to govern ourselves individually and as a society, and as a body of faith. Even though we have this grace-filled life we live in, it still does not strip us away from the do's and the don'ts and the rules that we have to have in place. So Littlefoot had, or the Land Before Time had 13. I thought that was excessive. But as I went to look at this, I found out the world winner in terms of sequels was actually, and you'll go, oh yeah, Godzilla. There were 29 of those made. But close to follow in second place was James Bond. One of these movie franchises that had sequel after sequel, we had the recent sequel that came out just, I think, earlier this month, Jurassic Park, with Jurassic World. And the funny thing is, with all these Jurassic movies, they're really all pretty much the same. We've created something that we shouldn't have created. We didn't actually create it, but we recreated it. Probably shouldn't have recreated it, because dinosaurs and human beings were never meant to live together. We recreated them with the understanding that we could keep these dinosaurs in check, be able to look at them and watch them, and everything would be fine. And then dinosaur escapes. Dinosaur begins to chase people, kill people, make people scream and run. Pretty much all four of these movies, same thing. In fact, in the second movie, one of the characters, played by Jeff Goldblum, a guy named Malcolm, said, "Oh, it all starts out the same. Everybody goes, ooh, and ah. And soon there's running and there's screaming, because that's the way these movies are." But part of the point, I think, of the Jurassic Park movie series is that understanding of there are consequences for actions. Because the clear consequence of these scientists getting together and recreating these dinosaurs is the fact that they probably shouldn't have done this in the first place. And the consequence ends up that many of them get chomped as a result of their actions. In today's Old Testament lesson, God draws a line. Not in the sand, but he uses a plumb bob. Y'all know what a plumb bob is? You know, it's a weight on a string. You hang it down so it gives you a clear, straight line. Mostly used to make walls straight and true. And so God drops a plumb bob for humanity to be able to discern whether the people of Israel were actually straight and true. And this was after a result of a lot of negotiations that took on between God and poor Amos. Amos has this really curious role because he enters into the world in a notion that everybody thinks he's a prophet. And if you read the lesson, he's saying, "Hey, listen, I'm just a shepherd and I, you know, take figs off of sycamore trees. That's about it. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a son of a prophet. I'm just doing what God told me to do." And within those negotiations, God's set and determined that he's going to destroy the people of Israel. And he sets out a couple of different plans of how that destruction is going to take place. And Amos talks God down, to the point that we get to where we are, that God says, "Okay, then I'm going to set a line. And if they don't meet what I have before them, if they don't stay true to that line, if they aren't clearly my people doing the things that I've asked them to do, representing me and doing my work here in this place, then I will turn my back on them. And they will have to deal with the consequences of their actions." Where are we with that line? The line's still there. It's a great Old Testament story. But the reality is that line still exists for each and every one of us in our relationship with God. That God has dropped that line before us and measures us to see whether we stay true to what God asks us to do. And if we don't stay true, there are consequences that can be put in place. Now, this isn't a doom and gloom sermon necessarily, but the reality is within our lives, if we don't stay true to the things we're supposed to do, there are those times that we pay the consequences for our actions. And while God can stand there offering us His grace and glory and love and forgiveness, the reality is that it doesn't necessarily steer us clear of the consequences of what we've chosen to do or what we've chosen not to do. You see, within that line that God holds for us, there is the question of what we do with ourselves. What do we do with our time? Do we greedily hold on to that time for ourselves and use it to our own pleasure? Or do we make sure that we share it with the people around us who might need us in their lives? Our family, friends, and even strangers who might be in need of something that we have to offer. What do we do with that time that God has blessed us with? What do we do with the possessions that God has given us? Do we share them in the manner for which God has seen fit to be able to enrich the world around us? Or do we sway from that plumb line and tightly hold on to that which is ours, with no regard for the world around us, but only for what it is that we might possess? As we stand and look at that plumb line, what about the decisions we make within our lives in terms of choices that affect people around us? Do we only consider how it might affect us in terms of what that choice or decision might be? Or do we look at the bigger picture and understand the world around us and how it might affect those who find themselves in need? Those who find themselves in lesser positions than we are. Those who find themselves in need of what we have. See, that plumb line is always there. And it's there to serve a purpose, not for God, but for us. To help us in our choices and our decisions that we make. To help us understand that there are consequences that take place from what we might choose to do or choose not to do. And those consequences may sometimes affect us, or they might affect those around us. Sometimes those very close to us whom we care and love for dearly. And sometimes people that we never really encounter on a personal basis. That plumb line remains there to help us be straight and to be true and to be solid in the relationship that we have with God. But when we waver, when we find ourselves listening to the left or listening to the right and not being at that place that God wants us to be, we live in a world where God's love and forgiveness prevail. And it is that love that will restore us. It is that love that will set us back on the path. It is that love through God's forgiveness that will allow us to come true to that line once again. To be able to allow us to serve this world in the manner for which God chooses. To be the people that God has called us to be. Amos stood before the people of Israel because they no longer represented God in the manner for which God saw fit. They no longer served as God's people. And so that line was set. Set for them and set for all of God's people, including us, to be able to understand what our role within this world might be, what our place as God's people might be as we continue to serve Him each and every day of our lives, looking to that line, making sure that we remain straight and solid and true with the blessings that God has placed before us. And using those blessings each and every day to see that God's Word remains true and fast and is spread throughout the world as people proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. As we go out of this place and through our words and through our actions, proclaim ourselves as God's people, staying plumb and true to that line. Doing exactly what God asks us to do, understanding what God calls us to do, and living our lives as if God demands nothing else. And understanding within all things, God continues to love us and bless us, whether we sway to the left or the right of that line. God's back is not turned on us, but will remain there for us each and every day. As we continue to strive to serve Him and to serve the people that He has placed within our trust and within our care. Amen.